everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. Now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everyone. It's Nancy, and I'm so excited for tonight's show. It's time to unwind and enjoy some chit-chat with us. We're really excited about our guest tonight, Sharon K. Jackson, the author of Who's Watching Your Drink? Rudolfo Espinal Martinez is a chocolatier from Marie Bell Chocolates, and G.L. Henderson joins us tonight with his brand new CD about therapeutic poetry. So sit back and unwind and enjoy our New Year's Eve celebration. Lisa, are you excited about New Year's Eve?
I am. I love New Year's. Well, I like it and I don't. I mean, I like it because it's fun. I go to a nice party and all that, but it's kind of sad, a year ending, and you always, like, get nervous, like, what's going to happen with the new year coming up? I always think, oh, my God, I hope nothing bad happens.
Exactly. And I don't know. I've just been following a pattern in my life. Every single thing that's happened good in my life has happened on an odd year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Because we're coming up to an even year.
I've only had two bad things happen in my life, and they happened on an even year. So I love odd years. I'm sad to see 2011 go.
Now, I have bad luck on odd years. Isn't that funny?
Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. We compliment each other so well. Isn't it unreal that every single thing that's happened good to me has happened on an odd year?
Well, maybe 2012 is going to be your year to change all that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Well, you got to think positive, right?
Yep. I always do, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I am very excited. It's not every day that we have the opportunity to meet some of our Chit Chat Cafe Live guests, and Christine Sawicki was in Minnesota, her home state, and so I was able to meet her for a cup of coffee earlier today. So she's in Minnesota doing TV interviews and promoting her broadcast film. Was really fun to meet with her.
That was fun. It is fun to meet our guests. We don't get to do it too often, but when we do, it's a lot of fun.
It is, and we look forward to the next time we can meet with guests, so that was great fun. Well, I reached into my library, and when we first started our show, and Sharon K. Jackson was a book that I read years ago, and I just think it's such an important message. Sharon K. Jackson was a victim herself, and through life lessons, she learned. She's giving a voice to victims and potential victims. Her book, called Who's Watching Your Drink, is a must-read for everyone. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live, Sharon.
Well, thank you very much. It's just a pleasure to be here, guys.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, dear.
Thank you so much for sharing your book with us. We appreciate it, and it's a wonderful message. Tell us a little bit about some of the life lessons that our listeners can learn from you.
Well, I think, you know, we've all seen the movie The Hangover that has been showing, and Hangover 2, and it truly shows what can happen when somebody spikes your drink. And one of the things that I have found is that they'll do it for a prank, to rob you or to rape you. And it used to be, we used to call it the date rape drug years ago, and it's just not like that anymore. The stories that come through and the people that come through Watch Your Drink are just as many males as females that are getting their drinks spiked. And you know what a better time of the year, just before New Year's Eve, when it is, you know, a drinking holiday, that we can talk about how to stay safe.
Exactly. That's exactly why we were so excited to have you on tonight. The cover of your book is nice, and I really like that Mark Victor Hansen is on your cover, quoted as, "Drug-facilitated rape is a life-altering violent crime."
Absolutely.
Read Sharon's book and use its wisdom.
Yep, and I
sharing
think that
your
most
story
of the,
itself.
Most of the talks that I have done, the students and the people are, we're just hoping that, that the word goes out there that they won't have to go through what I did. And I was only 22 years old when this first happened, and it was my very bestest friend in the whole world. And he drugged me with GHB, or known as roofies, too. And then basically what he did is he raped me, and then he allowed all of his buddies to gang rape me, too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Sharon, God bless you.
And you know what? I think that the drug partly helped save me, only because I didn't remember. I woke up the next day, and I had bruises, and I was sore, and I had no idea that I had been raped.
Oh, my God.
And so I had amnesia for over 20 years, and I wrote the book Who's Watching Your Drink exactly as it unfolded in my life. I went to a 20th year class reunion, and I ran into the perpetrator, and he was telling me how sorry he was that hurt me in the past. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You never hurt me. When did you hurt me? I don't remember you hurting me. And he's like, you know, a deer in the headlights, and said, you still don't remember?
Wow.
And that right there started triggering all kinds of memory cells. And I'll tell you what, it took many, many years to process and get through this. And, you know, the doctors said that they were surprised I wasn't in a corner someplace rocking. But I decided that I was going to help. I was going to use this any way that I could, you know, Nancy and Lisa, any way I could to help other people so they could protect themselves. They wouldn't have to go through this. And the thing about it, it's once these boys found out that I was not remembering, I was truly a sitting duck. And it happened several times after that.
Oh, my
with
gosh.
No memory recall for 20 years. And in 20 years, the flashes started coming back. And I'll tell you, it was just... It was one flash after another. It was like kind of like you sit and you watch television and everything is calm, but all of a sudden this flash has come, and you could wave your hands in front of my face, and I would like into a stare. I didn't even know anybody was there, and the flash would end, and then it would be emotional and the cries and the tears. So I seriously had to process many, many emotions to get to a nice, healthy state again.
Well, your book, I know that on your website you offer free copies to people.
Well, we had a promotion years ago when the book was first published, and we gave out about 10,000 copies of free books. And when we do a radio interview, too, we can offer, you know, a couple of your callers a free book also. But they are for sale on our website, and they're also for sale on Amazon. In any bookstore, if you go in and ask for the title, they can get it for you. But I do know that when you sit down to read it, you can't just read it here and there in a little chapter there. You are so taken by this story that you won't want to put the book down. I've even had people that have called me and said, okay, I started your book. My gosh, I can't stay in my house because I'm scared to death. I'm going to go over to my mother's house. It's 2 in the morning. I'm going to finish my book.
Yeah. And as I shared with you the other day, Sharon, I gifted this book to every single one of my nieces and nephews.
Wow. When you were reading it, Nancy, did you feel that it just kind of, you just didn't want to put it down?
That's how I felt. And I was also uplifted, though, you know, when you quoted your Bible verses.
Absolutely.
And that really...
It's the only thing that got me through. That's the only thing, is to know that, you know, that reading the Bible and finding a verse that fit where I was in my life right now, and knowing that the Lord knew my pain. And, you know, He wants for us for good, not for bad. And how it all turned out now, you know, it's been many years later, but by gosh, I know that we have helped hundreds of thousands of people, women and men, that have been spiked, that just want some sort of understanding in their brain, because it screws up your brain so bad, you don't know who to trust, and all of your signs that you normally would grab a hold of and trust, you can't even trust those anymore. And my volunteers, you know, and if I might brag just a bit, we do have volunteers all over the world now. We have volunteers in Africa and South Africa and Australia and Iceland, Greenland, the UK, all over the world. And they tell me that they know we have helped millions of people. So that just makes me feel really good that, you know, I went through this, and yes, I'm able to, you know, kind of turn those lemons into, you know, some lemonade and help other people in the process of that.
Now, where do people get these drugs? Are they that easy to get?
They're very easy to get. You can go to your bookstore and order it. You can order it off of our website.
No, I'm talking about the drugs.
Oh, the drugs. Oh, gosh, yes. You know what? You can go on the Internet, and you can get a recipe of how to make GHB in your kitchen sink.
Isn't that really terrible?
They even tell you what kind of pan not to cook it in so it doesn't have a tangy taste.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. I have talked to drug dealers before that have told me that they, when I was doing some investigation on it, they have told me that they order it in 55-gallon drums and have it brought up to their second-story apartment.
Oh.
They divide it out, and they put it in Visine bottles, eyedropper bottles, Scope bottles, anything. And the kids, the young kids, are told that this drug is a smart drug. You know, you can use it and you can, you know, get a buzz off in it. And you know what? Your parents won't be able to smell alcohol on your breath. And they don't tell them anything but that, but they'll sell it to them as, you know, the smart drug for preteens, basically, and young adults. And you can buy it for like $5 for a capful.
Do you find that this happens more in low-lifey type places or like more upscale places, or it's just the same
you know
wherever
what?
You go?
It is just every time that I get calls, and I know they're from the Hamptons or Vegas,
really?
Is a really popular place right now. And the people that are spiking are not just young punk kids. These are grown adults that are spiking. I've had a librarian call me and tell me that she was spiked at a dinner party that she went to. She said she doesn't get out much, but her girlfriend and her decided, a girlfriend was in her late 40s and she was in her early 50s, and they went to a dinner party and somebody spiked their drink, and she didn't even know that she was spiked until she was at the dinner party sitting there and she felt urine running down her leg. And then when she got up to move, her legs were like rubber. You can't move. And that's the first thing that you notice, is that your large motor skills will go first. And every single person that calls in that wants help says, the last thing that I remember was.
Oh, my God.
And that's
oh
our God. Key. We know right there that they have been spiked. What happens to your brain, it just shuts your brain down. You remember nothing.
Can you die from it?
Absolutely.
I guess you can, but...
Absolutely. In fact, there's been many reports that people have overdosed or died. And what happens is your breathing slows down. Okay, now this was reported from the Drug Enforcement Administration. And they have documented, over 600 deaths just related to GHB. And that was in 04, 05, and 06. And so it's just constantly going up from there. But what happens is it slows down your breathing to just a few breaths a minute, basically.
That is scary.
Well,
very
I know
scary.
One girl. I know one girl. It happened to her, similar to your story. And it happened a year ago, and she is still in a coma.
Oh, my gosh. I know several people that have young girls and old that have died from it or are
God.
In a coma from
it. Oh, my
God.
This is so scary.
And so, Sharon, what can we all do to protect ourselves? I know that some people say go to the bar and watch the bartender pour your drink. Is that protecting yourself
That's
enough?
That's definitely a good plan. If I don't see that bartender pour a drink, I will not drink it. And try to drink stuff when you're out. Try to drink stuff that don't have a wide rim on them, like a bottled something or other is a little safer. But, you know, you just have to make sure that you've got a buddy system with whoever you're going out with, that you talk about the effects of drink spiking and what happens and kind of what to watch for. There's certain places that are higher at risk than others, like college campuses, nightclubs, dance clubs, dinner parties. Holiday parties are one of the biggest. And also, like, think about hotel bars when you're traveling. I kind of like to think about it. Any place that there's a bed nearby, you've got to be very cautious.
Let me ask you a question. If you're this drugged up, how could they have sex with you? Aren't you like a dead weight? Like, this sounds gross, and I don't mean to be graphic, but I'm just curious. If
you're
that
dead
out,
weight.
The hell, like, you spread your legs and stuff. Seriously, how do you, like,
you're dead,
like,
weight,
like,
or you're passed
rubber?
Out. I know. Isn't that sick?
Yeah, you'd be like a dead body. You'd be like having sex with a dead body. What? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a sickness. It's but it's not about sex. It's about control.
Control.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
do
any of these people get caught? Do any of these people get caught? Go to jail?
Sometimes, but you know how hard it is to prove?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
GHB leaves your system in less than 10 hours.
So
it's
other
so
than going
to
the bartender and watching him pour your drink, any other safety tips? Like you said, the bottle,
yep,
rather than a big wide glass,
yep,
which martinis are.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, that not all bartenders are in it, but there are bartenders that they work as a buddy system with somebody. And it's usually the person that's going to take you home. They'll take you home. You'll be incredibly intoxicated, and so they'll be the good knight that's going to take you home or get you a cab or something. And a lot of people are robbed at that point, too.
Hmm. And so, really, you sometimes shouldn't even trust the bartender.
Oh, absolutely not.
So what do you suggest if you want to have a drink in public?
Well, never leave your drink unattended. And I'm talking about what they'll do, Nancy, if you're sitting in there and let's say there's somebody to your right and somebody to your left, the person to your right will distract you while the other person spikes your drink. And all it takes is a Visine bottle with a little spray in it. Just be very cautious if you're drinking with strangers. It goes back to what our mom and dad taught us. Don't talk to strangers. And isn't that awful? You can't even trust the people in your life that, like your best friend, like in my case. This was my very best friend for 8 years.
Oh my gosh.
Very first time that we had an opportunity to be alone is when he spiked my drink.
And so it's a liquid. Rather than, like you said, it's like a
Visine. Absolutely, it's a liquid. And watch for, you know, things like when you're going to open up a twist-off bottle and somebody hands you the bottle, all right, here's some water even, here's a Coca-Cola, listen for the pop of the lid. Listen for the fizz on a twist-off. And if it opens rather easily, get a new one. Don't be shy. Go dump it out in the bathroom or something. And don't ever drink in community punch bowls or other community drinks.
These are all interesting things, Sharon, that we would not have thought of.
Well, thank you. I'm hoping that I can be a little bit helpful for you.
Well, tonight especially.
Very much been.
And don't
accept the drink. Well, I already know we are already receiving many, many messages, and our listeners are begging us to have you back again.
Oh,
Sharon,
my gosh.
Would you join us again on Chit Chat Cafe Live?
Absolutely. There's just so much to cover on this, and there's so many stories of
different
types. Well,
we'll plan for a longer time next time.
That would be wonderful.
Well, Sharon, Happy New Year to you. God bless you always.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you too, Nancy and Lisa. And thank you. I'm really honored to be a part of Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Oh, it was our pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Well, enjoy your evening, and we can't wait to have you join us again.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but first I would like to say hi. We have another listener from India tonight. We're going to be really popular in India.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe it?
That's awesome, too.
Sweet, dear friend, Robin Thomas. Hi, Robin. Hope, I know you're listening right now. What a sweetie, and he was. We're looking forward to listening to us tonight.
Nice.
Just wanted to give him a shout-out. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with Rodolfo from Marie Bell Candies Chocolates.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nancy, we've been looking forward to this.
Yes.
Because you've been into that adorable candy shop recently, and I was there a while ago, and that's why we wanted to have them on our show. I'd like to introduce everybody to Rodolfo Espinel Martinez. He's from Marie Bell Chocolates. Welcome, Rodolfo.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So tell us, you have a cool job. You have a really cool job. Tell us about it. Tell us about your job.
It's a lot of fun. I've been working here for 4 years. I love chocolate, and which is why I have the ideal job. So every day I have a piece or so. And people always ask me, it must be tough working at a chocolate company because, you know, keeping your weight or whatever. But the fun part is that good chocolate will never get you fat, so I can have as much as I want.
So tell us, what sets Marie Bell Chocolates apart from all the rest?
Well, we are, everything is handmade. It's nothing machine-based, and we use all natural ingredients. We bring our chocolate from Colombia, Venezuela, and Madagascar, and everything is handmade in our factory, which is located in Brooklyn.
Oh, wow, cool. Now, what exactly do you do? Tell us what you do with the chocolates. What's your job?
Well, I'm the corporate manager and event manager. I'm in charge of chocolate tastings. I do this thing similar to a wine tasting, basically, but with chocolate. So, and I handle all the major accounts that come into the company.
Now, tell us about, do you have any, like, flavored chocolates other than, do you have any, like, with odd spices? Because I know that's kind of in now to have chocolate with, like,
well, see,
a hint of
when Maribel first started the company, she also wanted to create an experience through chocolate, in which people could travel around the world tasting chocolate. So we have really, you know, we have from the common regular flavored chocolates all the way to the eclectic and whimsical flavors. We have spices from all over the world because Maribel likes flavors in general. So we have, you know, for the regular ones, we have caramel, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, but we also have some with spices like rosemary and cilantro and cardamom, and we have passion fruit, pineapple, and each of them tastes, because it's all natural ingredients, it's not any artificial flavoring, they taste, you can taste the chocolate and the flavor at the same time without one or the other overwhelming the other flavor. So, it's quite an experience trying them.
Now, how do you come up with these things? Like, who sits and tests them to see if you think it's going to sell or comes up with these, you know, unusual spices to put in them? How do you come up with that?
Before coming out we try to experiment with the flavor first. And before we launch it big time, we test it out for a couple of months. We give it out as samples to the customers that come in. we have meetings with some of our vendors, and we give them out and see what their feedback is. One of our most recent ones, actually, we came out with a banana-flavored one, and it's been on test. It's really good. It's amazing. And then one of my favorite experiences was the cilantro one, because Maribel, the owner, she's really creative, and who would think to mix cilantro, which you normally use it to cook savory, into chocolate? But she did it, and it's actually really good. She mixed it up. It's a very tight flavor. It's really interesting. Because she also added a little bit of chili powder into that mix, and it gives it quite a kick at the end. It's really nice. So every year we come up with two or three different flavors added to the line of chocolates. We started off with 12 different flavors. Now we have 36 different ones.
Now, tell us about the cute little, for those that are in New York or going to be visiting New York, tell us about that cute little area you have in the back. I mean, I still think you have it. I was there a couple of years ago. Don't you have that little bistro in the back, like a little cafe?
We have our cacao bar, yes. It's a little cafe where we serve our hot chocolate. And aside from that, we also serve different types of savory, such as crepes and sandwiches. It's like walking in through Paris during the 1930s. Maribel's also in love with that era, so she wanted to create that experience through her shop. And if you walk in there, you'll see all this decor with the chandelier and the little marble tables, and you can try hot chocolate, real chocolate. And that's actually what one of the reasons the Busa business. Maribel created this chocolate mixture using real chocolate, not cocoa powder. And we started the trend of drinking chocolate with water, not with milk. And the reason why is because water, when you mix chocolate with water, you taste the full flavor of it. When you add milk to it, just like when you add it to your coffee or tea, you dilute the flavor of it. So
Wow.
Well, I think your chocolate, your hot chocolate, especially the Aztec, is my favorite.
Oh, that's the original flavor that we came up with. It's a 60% cacao-based chocolate, and Maribel wanted the reason why it's called Aztec. Maribel is from Honduras, so she has my.
I didn't hear what you said.
Maribel, the owner,
yeah.
She is from Honduras,
and
she wanted to bring in her roots. That's another thing that differs us from the rest. She has both a passion for food and fashion at the same time, and she also wanted to bring in her roots into the business. So the names of our hot chocolate are named. We have an Aztec one, which is the original one, and we recently came up with a Maya chocolate, which is a no-sugar added dark chocolate.
Well, it's all very delicious. It's the best chocolate I've ever tasted.
Thank you. I hear you guys are coming to New York pretty soon. Is that correct?
Well, we're hoping the end of January, early February.
Oh, I'd love to have you guys over. And actually, by that time, starting in January, we're going to be doing open chocolate tasting classes. So I would love to have you guys as guests, so you can come over and taste chocolate in a different way.
We'd love to. What is your best-selling chocolate? Of all the crazy flavor, out of the crazy stuff, what is the biggest selling do you find?
Well, because we have so many different flavors from different regions, it depends on the type of person that comes in. One of my particular favorites is we have a flavor called Dulce de Leche, which is an Argentinian caramel made from milk. I'm from Honduras as well, and I grew up eating that. So when I first started to work at the company, I think when they released that flavor, I must have had like 30 pieces at once. It was so good, and so I think that's one of my favorites. But we have a dark chocolate that comes from the region of Madagascar. Madagascar chocolate has a fruity flavor note towards the end, because chocolate is sensitive to its surroundings. So it absorbs the flavors around it. So because of all the fruits and vanilla that grows in Madagascar, the chocolate that grows in there has a very particular, unique taste. So even though it's dark chocolate, it's 70% dark chocolate, it doesn't taste bitter. It tastes a little sweet towards the end, and it's really nice. So actually, when in my chocolate tasting classes, when I, you know, because a lot of people start to, you know, they love sweets and they love chocolate, but they want to get themselves into the healthier trend eating dark chocolate, but it's hard for them because, you know, dark chocolate tends to be quite bitter. So I suggest and I recommend them to have the Madagascar dark chocolate because even though it's dark chocolate, it has a sweetness towards the end, so it doesn't have quite a shock to the palate. So that's another one that's really popular as well. We have a spicy chocolate, which is anchovy, chipotle, cinnamon, and nutmeg, mixed with 70% dark chocolate. And that's very interesting. People are attracted to different. So that's one. That's another one of our popular flavors. And Maribel's favorite, as a matter of fact, is passion fruit. Have you guys ever had passion fruit?
No, I don't think so.
So passion fruit is a fruit that grows in Latin America. It has a tangy taste towards the end. It's quite different. It's very fruity, but it's very popular as well. And another thing that, aside from our eclectic flavors, one thing that's interesting is that we have silk screen chocolates that look almost as if they were hand painted. They're made out of cocoa butter and food coloring, but they're very unique and trendy. They have different stories to them. If you come to our store, you'll get to see that each of our flavors has a different design, and behind each design, there's a particular story. Something that Maribel lived in her past, or a story that happened while the store was being opened. So it's a mix of feelings and good thoughts going into that.
Well, Rodolfo, this has been a pleasure. We will get in touch with you again. We'd like to have you on again, and we will come for sure to see you. We'll let you know when we have our exact dates, and we'll be in New York City.
Great, I'm looking forward to having you guys.
To put on our website.
And we're tweeting about you and everything.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, we can't wait to come to New York.
Okay, great. I can't wait to have you guys over, and we'll go over, we'll try our hot chocolate, and we eat a lot of our chocolates.
Save a pineapple one for me.
All right, we'll do so. So you like fruity chocolates? Good to know.
Yep.
I'll be sending you guys some over before your trip to New York, as a matter of fact.
Great.
So you guys
thank
get
you
to
so
try
much.
Them. You're welcome. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy
thank
New
you.
Year.
You
too.
Bye.
How cute is he?
Oh, darling. Too much fun. Well, we're thanking our sponsors tonight, Laura Geller Makeup and Intimacy Bras. We're taking a quick commercial. Stay tuned. G.L. Henderson is going to talk to us about his new poetry CD, and it's different than you think. It's about why people cheat. Stay tuned.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live.
We are honored and excited to have our Chit Chat Cafe Live neighbor, G.L. Henderson, join us tonight. He's going to talk to us about his new CD, Therapeutic Poetry, Infidelity Edition, and the number one is Why People Cheat. G.L., the cover of your CD, wow. We have it posted on our Chit Chat Cafe Live Facebook.
Thank you, ladies, so much. It's great to be back on you guys' show. I tell you, it's like seemed like yesterday.
We used to be neighbors.
I know. You guys are just growing. I'm going to have to get you guys' autograph here in a minute.
Well, yeah, right. No. It's so great to hear your voice. We've missed you. It's wonderful to talk to you. You've been putting this CD together, your therapeutic poetry, for a while. Tell us about it.
This poetry CD, it just came about when I was actually writing notes from one of my shows that I was doing on my radio show, the one on Wednesday night, and it just kind of rhymed and I was like, oh, that's hot, and I just took it from there, and it just turned into one subject after the next.
Wow. And so how did you think of the Why People Cheat?
Because, you know, it's one of those topics like, okay, you know how you guys have your show and you go back and, you know, you see which is the most listened to program or show that you have. And
right.
I realized that the shows that were my most listened to were the ones that I talked about sex and infidelity. So I kind of decided to go with those shows that and those topics that were the most listened to. And Why People Cheat was one of those, you know, I think everybody has that question they want to know, you know, what's really going on. So I decided to break down the clinical aspect of it.
Well, tell us, why does it go on? You think it's because of all the social networking now? Is that making it worse?
Well, I tell you what, when I actually do my live reading, I'm going to break that down.
Okay.
I'm gonna break it down. I don't want to spoil the track on that one, but I'm going to do a live rendition for you guys.
All exclusive. Right, we want to hear it.
Exclusive for you guys. Hey, you know, how about we do this? Actually, I got people listening from Hawaii. They're texting me, so, you know, I'm going to give a shout-out to Cheryl and her girls over in Hawaii, Chit Chat Cafe.
Cheryl, aloha.
Yes, hello.
And they're listening all over. How about we do this? I mean, I want to take on your show. I don't know what process and timeline, but this can kind of go real fast in the next 15 minutes. Is how about I do the live rendition, and then we can take questions from the live rendition of as far as, you know, why people cheat.
Okay.
Good.
Y'all want to do that?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do something exclusive. This is exclusive, so I'm going to do it live right here for Lisa and Nancy and Chit Chat Cafe, my girls. And shout out to Shelby. She's listening in, our other Artist First, you know, compadre out there. So.
Hi, Shelby.
All right, so we're going to do this live. Lisa Nancy, Chit Chat Cafe. So, Corey, if you go ahead and play the instrumental, I'm going to do a live rendition of Why People Cheat, and then we're going to get into it. So, Why People Cheat. Nothing destroys a relationship more than when your partner cheats. Many issues are affected in the relationship, the least of which is trust. The hurt partner's self-esteem is shattered. The love that binds two people together is permanently maimed, and the idea of continuing to live together in the same house becomes a nightmare. No one can actually pinpoint any specific reasons for cheating, except for to say that it's nothing that which, quote-unquote, just happened. There's two main reasons why people choose to cheat. So what's this all about? The first is because they say that something is missing. Passion has just faded out. Problems in the relationship. They're feeling lonely, and they feel that love is gone. So they find someone who treats them better, and so on and so on. Sorry. Second, now this one digs more into our human nature instead. Let's explore this one and get more inside one's head. Why is being faithful so difficult for many people to do? Let me see if I can break this down simply for you. Men cheat for many different reasons, and it's not to even any score. They do it because they don't feel admired in the relationship anymore. You could call it the ego, the manliness, or even a facade. Either way you look at it, it'll all seem very odd. Men feel admired early on because they're both trying to win each other. All the yous and we's, just the two of us destined to be honorable lovers. However, over time, that admiration begins to die. You can feel something changing, but you can't figure out why. Listen to his woes of what you're no longer doing to he. After that admiration begins to die, oh, here comes she. The misconception of this is that it's because she's younger or even more prettier. That's so far from the truth and couldn't be more sillier. Neither is it because y'all's sex life has gone bad and life seems like a disaster. The simple fact is that she's giving him admiration because that's what he's after. I know, ladies, this seems like it should be so much more than something so trivial. It's crazy how something so small as being admired can become so pivotal. I know some may not agree to it, but that's just that. And the truth is the truth, and facts are just facts. Now, you women, well, this is a totally different game. Nothing even come close as to why men cheat, nowhere near the same. Why do you all cheat? That's the question that men would like to know. Why do you do what you do? Well, this is how it go. You don't desire the admiration that he does. You want to feel respected, appreciated, and loved. That makes it a 3-to-1 odd that he'll get to his affair quicker. His one little need only makes the fish bite faster if he knows how to pick her. For his need for admiration is your same need to feel appreciated. That means not taking your position for granted and your feelings negated. Oh yes, you'll find it extremely attractive to feel appreciated by another man. If he can, you'll let him. Yes, you will. If he can. But you'll be slicker. But touch that fire if you dare. Touch it if you dare. But watch how fast it'll turn into an intimate affair. There you have it. Both sides of the coin, heads and tails. If you run after what your partner's not giving you, the result, cheating, it never fails. Much love, Chit Chat Cafe.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's really cool. I tell you, we're getting a lot of messages already. Wow. That's...
Yes. So, there you have
Erica
it.
Erica wants to know... She doesn't call it cheating. She calls it playing. Same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, to break it down, you know, when we're talking about cheating, it's some of the simplest things that makes it difficult to understand because we think it's supposed to be something greater. You know, like we want this great, this is why they cheat, but it's really as simple. It's like if you really think about it with men and why they want to be admired, is because that's why they have to be the biggest, fastest, strongest, smartest, richest, you know, because they want the admiration. You know, women makes men feel admired. We go shop. We don't go shop for ourselves. We don't buy things for ourselves. We buy things for you all, women. So if you're in a relationship and as soon as you stop admiring that guy, it's like, you know, when he comes home, you stop saying, hey, you know, I missed you today, or, you know, you look good today, or, you know, stop complimenting him. His ego is just, you know, you're not stroking his ego, so to say, anymore. But when someone else comes along and, you know, they're saying to him, oh, you know, if I was your woman, you know, I would do this. And, you know, because you're so handsome or you're so this and you're so that. And they're stroking his ego. And then next thing you know, it turns into, you know, something else.
Oof. I think a lot of people, don't you think a lot of it happens if you've been married like a long time? Because you just start, life gets in the way of your relationship. You got the kids and you got the bills and you got this and you got your job and people are laid off. And don't you think that gets in the way of a lot of this romance and all the good stuff that should be happening in a marriage?
Yeah, I mean, but that's a part of life and it's a part of change and it's a part of that process that say that I'm committed to you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. This is why I am with you. And most people, you know, they're caught up in that initial, you know, intimacy, that initial love and infatuation. But most of the time, people are planning for a wedding and not a marriage. You know, marriage is more than just that one moment of happiness. It's like it's a commitment and it's a business. It's like even if you have your own business, if you stop putting and adding and working on that business, it's going to fail. So it's no different than a relationship. It's like you still have to put in work. It, you know, just because you're married to someone don't mean that they, you know, they're going to stay in love with you. I mean, you have to keep working at it.
Right. Absolutely. Sure. because there's too much temptation out there. And you see people now on Facebook, you see it all over the place. People are leaving their spouses for, like, old boyfriends or somebody they met on Facebook, or it's happening very frequently, and you see it all the time now.
Well, I mean, it's the, you know, even on the CD, you know, there's other tracks that talk about that after they cheat. And, you know, it's like so many other tracks on there, but you're right. It's like the one of the tracks on there is called Facts and Stats, which I break down the facts and the statistics of infidelity. And one of those things on there is the internet, you know, your phone, the technology. But still, that shouldn't have a merit on whether you, one, if you even meant to have been with this person in the first place, you know, so there's so many different signs, and these are excuses as to why you're trying to move on to, you know, other people, whatever, because most of the time, half these people shouldn't even be married in the first place.
Well, you know, this CD is going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, because it's all clinical. You know, I just kind of make it more entertaining, but it's all clinical. It's like there's no denial of the process of what I'm talking about. It's just saying that here, you know, take these steps, you know, take a listen to this and really let it sink in. Because, you know, it's just like women, you know, we talk about men cheating, but even in the stats is that women are equally more cheating on their male counterparts than men are. So it's not just about men anymore. You know, even in the facts and stats that I talk about is that as more women have become more independent and moving more into the workforce, that they're becoming a force to be reckoned with. And that's why the increase of infidelity is on the job force now, because more women are more independent and they're out there more. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about men.
Do you think just as many women cheat as men cheat nowadays?
Yes. And I think that they're probably overtaking. You know, it's almost like, you know, not saying that women have not have never done it before, you know, whatever. It's just more coming to the light, you know, as to why, like I said, because, you know, from our forefathers and everything, I think that, you know, more women were at home, so they weren't exposed to, you know, a lot of these things, but now they're not at home anymore. They're out there and they're saying, wow, I can have more, I can have better. And, you know, you get into that grass is, you know, is greater syndrome on the other side of the fence.
What do you think about, like, these dating sites like Ashley Madison, where, you know, these married people are just hooking up just for sex and stuff? What do you think about that?
I think to each his own. You know, I think that, you know, I'm not judge or jury anybody. I don't judge. You know, so if that's what you're into, you know, you have to deal with those consequences. So if you're willing to deal with the consequences of doing those things, then, you know, by all means, go knock yourself out. But I don't say that I sit and condone anything or whatever. But I think that if you are into doing those things, then why be in a relationship? I mean, why just be single and go do your own thing?
Right. Gio, it's time to wrap already. I can't believe it. We have to have you back on again because this is a really fascinating topic. Would you come back on again in January?
Yeah, you know, I knew it was going to go by fast, ladies, and I was like, okay, you're not going to cover this in 15 minutes.
No, we want you back for a long time.
Yeah, maybe we'll get into some of the other tracks. You know, same-sex infidelity, rejection. You know, there's so many other things out there to discuss, you know, from the CD. And you know, really looking forward to getting it out to everybody, and you know, hopefully it helps some people.
Well, you bring your listeners, we'll bring our listeners, and we're going to have a whole night with more therapeutic poetry.
There you have it, and I would love to be back. You know, I really love you guys, and I really appreciate your shows and things that you're doing, watching you go from day one to year two. you know, it's really, really wonderful, you know, so no matter what I'm doing or where I'm at in the world, you know, I would definitely take time out to come on you guys' show.
Well, we're going to book you. We'll hook up with you tomorrow and pick a date, so we'll have you on for like a half hour because this is, like, really good. You're the best.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. And thank you guys so much for reaching out to me. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Well, Happy New Year.
Thank you. You guys, too.
Happy New Year, and thank you to all your listeners tuning in tonight to GL.
Thank you so much. I'm sure they appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was really amazing. Well, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
I can't wait to have him back.
Mm-hmm. We're thanking our fabulous sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. Thanking Corey, our wonderful producer. Remember, you can listen to Corey's show, The Corey King Show, right here on Artists First every Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
We'd like to thank our guests tonight, Sharon Kay Jackson, Rodolfo Espinel Martinez, and G.L. Henderson, and reminding everyone to enjoy our archives. You can go down to our, you go on our page, scroll down to our older shows, click on the date that you'd like to listen to, and just listen and enjoy.
We'd like to thank all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners. We're wishing you all Happy New Year. And Joey Adams once said, may all your troubles last as long as your New Year's Eve resolutions. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll chat with you again January 5th.
Good night. Happy New Year, everyone.